Well, let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. And be honest with you, you might wonder why I'm doing this, but turn to John chapter 11, which is where we were last week. Now, I'm not preaching the same message. There's another lesson in here I wanted to see, and I saw it kind of at two different times, and I thought, well, you have John chapter 11, the story there, in mind. Maybe this will be a good time to do this second thought. Last week, we talked about someone has to move the stone. And the fact is, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that message. And kind of took all the, it was one of those messages with a long runway. We had to know the whole story and so forth. And then you realize, God said, Jesus standing outside the tomb, and he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he tells somebody else to move the stone away. And he could have blown that stone away like that. He could have moved it. Like I said, he could have done a my favorite Martian deal and zzz, you know, moved it over or something. But he didn't. Because he knew what they knew, and that was inside that tomb has been death. And everything was gone, and it was real gone. But he was saying he could make a difference. To move that stone away, he was saying, I'm going to risk the terrible things I may see inside that tomb. Because of the word of God, God told me to. And when they moved that stone, they were saying, you're on your own, Lord. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something amazing. But they had enough faith in him to move the stone. Faith without works is dead. And if you're not willing to take that step, listen, if your faith doesn't change what you do, then your faith is dead. You can say you believe it all you want, but it's not going to do anything for you. Today we have a little different aspect, different angle on this passage. And I'm just going to read certain verses here. I'm going to assume you know the story of the raising of Lazarus. And, of course, they told Jesus that he was dead. In fact, they reminded him, by the way, you remember this is the guy you love. You know, you care about him. Well, he's not doing real well. Would you come and heal him so he doesn't die? Well, Jesus kind of waits where he was, and they kind of thought, well, maybe he was scared to go down to Jerusalem because there had been some threats on his life down there, and Bethany was right around the corner from Jerusalem, and, you know, they thought, well, maybe that's why he's not going. Whatever it was, a couple days later, he says, okay, let's go. And they said, he says, he sleepeth. Well, that's good. No, he's dead. He's dead. And so when he get there, he'd been dead for 4 days. And he kind of gets a finger pointed at him from Martha and says, you know, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And I know, in the last resurrection and all this stuff, I know he'll rise again, but, you know, if he'd been here, we wouldn't be going through this right now. And then she goes and gets Mary. Mary comes back, and she falls at the feet of Jesus, but she says the same words, but I think with a little different heart. She says, Lord, you know, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. He says, well, take me where he is. So they take him to the tomb. And, of course, the Bible says all of Jerusalem had come out to see what was going on. And they were mourning, and they were, and so forth, and having a hard time. He tells them to roll the stone away, and she says, whoa, 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 whoa. By now he stinketh. In other words, the decay is so bad. I mean, it's you don't want to do that. And he said, well, we need to decide whether I can do this or not. So they rolled the stone away. Lazarus come forth, and Lazarus comes out. And all the town sees what's going on, and many believe. Let me read a few verses so you can see it their way. In chapter 11 of John, in verse number 1, it says this. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. In other words, this is not the end of it all, but for the glory of God. In other words, people are going to be able to see who God is. They're going to be able to see his character. They're going to see his power. They're going to see his might. They're going to see his authority. They're going to see who God is. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. They're going to see who Jesus is. The one who's going to die in their place. Listen, I can't die for your sins. I've got my own sins to die for. You can't die for your sins or for my sins. You've got your sins to die for. In fact, if I die, I can't pay for my sins. My righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and that's not going to pay for anything. You get rid of those. The only one that could die and pay for our sins is a being that has no sin of his own, and that's God. So Jesus is God dying on the cross for us. Now, he says, I want everybody to see who Jesus is. In fact, after Lazarus is risen from the grave, not only do they try to kill Jesus, but they try to kill Lazarus because he was a reminder of the power of God, and they didn't like that. Now, verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now, remember that. His love doesn't wane. The Word of God says, love never faileth, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The word is in King James called charity, but it's the same word for a love. It's agape. And I always say, well, why did they translate it charity when instead of love? Because we can use the word love like I love a peanut butter sandwich, you know what I'm saying? They want you to know some things here. So they're using an English word is going to give the idea. What do you expect to get back when you give something to charity? So a love is a love that gives and expects nothing back. There's no ulterior motive. There's not looking for anything else. Love just loves. Now, don't listen to him, Oliver. That's good. That's all right. Good. So the Lord loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Don't forget that. God loves you with an everlasting love. Do not forget that. Put that in. That's an absolute. That's part of the formula. You don't take that part out of the formula of who God is. He loves you. You may not like what he does, but he loves you. Verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, watch, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. But he loved her, loved him. Why did he stick around? Because he says this sickness is not unto death. What do you mean it's not unto death? It's not unto ultimate death, but for the glory of God. Verse 7. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. So, well, okay, let's go ahead and go. Jump down to verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad, look, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Well, wait a minute. Thought you loved us. He died. Oh, he's dead. Well, if you had gone ahead of time, maybe he wouldn't have died. You said you loved him. Oh, I do. And in fact, I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm glad he died. That's what's going through their brain. I'm glad I wasn't there for your sakes, that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came. And of course, they have the whole story there about Mary and Martha and so forth. And I'll know he'll rise again. Well, listen, he can do anything. I understand that. And finally, they go down to the tomb. Look at verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I'll jump to verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus blew it. He messed up. In their eyes he did. Then we keep on going. And Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, come unto the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. Now wait a minute, you got to take that step. You trust me, you'll see God's glory. What's he implying? If you don't take the steps of trusting me, you won't see the glory. You don't roll the stone, you won't see the work of God. Verse 41. Then he took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. See, that they may believe that God has sent him to do this. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to him, loose him, let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Let me say it this way. Then many of the Jews believed on him. I'm glad for your sake I was not here. You know what he said? I'm glad for your sake that you went through the grieving. I'm glad for your sake that your heart was broken. Not that I wanted to be broken, not that I wanted you to see the grief. But I'm glad even though you had to go through all those things, I'm glad because of the final result. Let's pray. And I'm going to preach a message here this morning. I'm calling, Lord, if you had been here. Lord, if you had been here. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. And again, I thank you for your word and for the truths. And I thank these dear folks to come to hear your word. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll work in us in a great way. And there's some simple truths here that I think sometimes we miss, simply because all we see is the circumstances. And we start second-guessing the love that you have for us because we don't like what's going on in our life. And yet for things like this, the anchor holds. We can tell them to blow the wild gales if we have to. I've already had folks in here this morning, even in handshaking time, talking about storms that they're going through. Just coming from all sides. And yet, Lord, this is the opportunity that you give us to see your hand in a very great and mighty way. And may we just keep taking the steps to do what you've asked us to do in trust that you will bring us out the other side. So, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Yes, for your Holy Spirit to move. And we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you my first little thought here. We think, as the ladies did, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But you weren't here. So, Lord, you failed us. Now, you know, most of us probably wouldn't say that out loud. And if we were standing by somebody who said, the Lord failed me out loud, you probably would want to walk away and I'm struck by lightning with the rest of them. You know what I mean? But we probably think it. Or it breezes through our mind for just a moment. Lord, you know, if you were with me like you say, then none of this would happen. You know what? We need to get rid of that thought. We live in an old sin-cursed world and things are going to happen. And God knows they're going to happen. He gives us often peace in the midst of the storm, not necessarily taking away the storm. Now, sometimes we got to go through the storm, then he walks up, and we really, when we call him, then the storm's gone. That happens too. But sometimes we've got to go through the storm. The storm has to pass by before we see what's going on. Sometimes it's the storm that he wanted us to go through because it was the storm that was going to teach us to trust him. We don't like our circumstances, and the first thought is, well, I've been going to church. Been reading my Bible. I pray, trying to do right. Give me a break, God. Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. My brother wouldn't have died, but you weren't here. You failed us. Let me say in rebuttal to that, Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. Martha said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou ask of God, God will give it thee. She said it to his face in kind of a lack of reverence. Mary said the same thing. She said, she fell down at his feet saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And I think she bowed in his reverence. And I think Jesus acted upon the heart of Mary. On the other hand, I think he had a whole lot of folks. He knew he was going to show up. All Jerusalem were going to show up. And he wanted them to see. Why do we second guess God? We second guess God as if he has no understanding of the issue. Let me help you out, God. You see, here's the problem, and if you don't do thus and so, this is going to happen, and that's not good. So we, you know how it is? We almost like, God doesn't understand my issue. You know what I mean? He's so out of touch. He's not relevant these days. No, he's eternal. There's nothing new under the sun. There's no temptation of taking you except that which is common to man. He knows your heart. And he knows what's in it. He knows your infirmities. He's touched with our infirmities. He's not a priest that cannot be touched. He's been through it. He knows. But we think somehow he doesn't know. We second God's ability. We second guess God's ability. Well, you know, I guess he knows, but, you know, can't he really do anything about it? Because, I mean, this guy over here, you're not stopping him. God can't stop him. God can't take care of that issue. We second guess God's love. Well, I guess he knows what's going on. I guess he understands and he has the ability, but he's still not doing anything. I thought God loved me. You hear it, you know, all the time. You know, I thought he loved me. They said, you know where the one you love is sick? Hint, hint, hint. Come. And I can tell you what to do, Lord, but the one that you love is sick. He loves us with an everlasting love. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall I not with him also freely give us all things? And you go on in that passage, who shall separate us from the love of God? Not even death. Read it. Well, Lazarus is dead. Yeah, but he still loves him. So our thought is, number one, that Jesus failed. Number two, Jesus says, I'm glad I wasn't here. The Lord wasn't here. And he said, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. See, he must have had some reason to say such an insensitive thing as that. My brother died. Lazarus is dead. I thought, they had all been to Mary and Martha's house before. They knew Lazarus, the one he loved, and he said, and he was sick, and they figured he didn't go because he was just scared to go down to Jerusalem, but he didn't go down, and he said, and then he says, well, he's dead. And I'm glad I wasn't there. I mean, in other words, you'd rather let Lazarus die than you go to down in Jerusalem and risk your life of dying? Man, what kind of friend is that? And he says, let's go. The next verse says, Thomas says, okay, let's all go die with Jesus. We're all going to go down here and die too. He wasn't expecting Lazarus to be raised from the dead. Why in the world are we going now? Lazarus is dead. Too late. Let's go down. All right, well, let's all go down and die too. You remember that old car, cartoon. Forget now the thing. Oh, we're all going to die. We're doomed. I don't know. You remember that? It was a long time ago. Anyway, we're doomed. We're all going to die. He says, I'm glad it wasn't there. Well, didn't he care about Lazarus? I thought the Lord loved them. Some love this is. Does he have no sense of responsibility? We tell him what is happening, and he strolls into town days later when it's too late. How many times we've thought God just didn't care? I'm off his radar, and he's paying no attention. Did he show up late because there was nothing he could do about it? Didn't want to embarrass himself? And you know, there's no recorded response of that other than Thomas saying, okay, let's go to Jerusalem and die. I think they were dumbfounded. No one wanted to say God that Jesus didn't care. It sure looked like it. Number three, next thought. They said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But wait a minute. If their brother had not died, we would have not seen God's greater plan. If Lazarus had not died, we would not have seen God's greater plan. The death of Lazarus was a greater plan than to just save his life temporarily. Now, Lazarus died again. We all know that. I haven't heard anything about this guy being, 2,000 years old, still running around here. I'm Lazarus. No, he died again. So if he's going to bring him back to life and he's going to give him life temporarily, he might as well make good use of it. And he had a greater plan. But listen, if you had been there, she said, my brother would not have died. And Lazarus is going to eventually die anyway. But what? His glory will be seen in a greater way. If Lazarus had not died, they would have never seen the glory of God like they saw it. No one would have seen Lazarus rise from the dead. Now, if Jesus had shown up and touched him a little bit, and Lazarus was sick and he gets better, you know what we're going to think? Well, maybe he was going to get better anyway. I mean, people do that. No, he needed to be dead. But then, if he wasn't dead very long, people will do what they try to do with Jesus. Well, he was just in a swoon. He was never really dead. So when he rose from the grave, he just kind of, listen, you be whipped with a cat of nine tails with 40 lashes and nailed through the hands and the feet, crown of thorns, left in a cold cave all by yourself with nobody to help you with a stone rolled over. They couldn't get into it because of the stone. There was guards out front. The man was dead. Jesus was dead. And yet we got people who want to say, no, he was just in a swoon and he came, he shook himself and got up out of there. Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days. By now he stinketh. He didn't just want him dead, he wanted him good and dead. There is something going on in your life. And it seems that the Lord is not here for you. If you had been here, Lord, if you had been here, I want you to understand something. God has a plan. God has a greater plan than to just solve the immediate issue. See, we just want to, just fix the issue so I don't have to go through the death of everything. Just go through, just fix the issue, and I'll give you a praise for it. I want you to see something bigger than that. The quicker and easier the issue is solved is all the better as far as we are concerned, but the less impactful it is in our lives. I know for some reason I've quoted this verse so many times from with Romans 5:3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing the tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He has to take us through it so we can experience it, so that we can know he's true. Number four. Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. And watch, we would have never seen such a display of God's omnipotent power. God has a greater plan. If their brothers had not died, they would not have seen the greater plan. If their brother had not died, they would have never had to see the power of God the way they saw it. If Jesus showed up before Lazarus died, his recovery would probably have been attributed to the body, to the body's own ability to heal. Number five. Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. Watch. And God's glory would not have been seen by as great a number of people as it was. You see, all of Jerusalem came out. Listen, if he showed up at the house while Lazarus was sick and in bed, he would have knocked on the door and he would say, well, hi, Martha. Hi, Mary. How you doing? Yeah, where's Lazarus? Well, he's over here. He's lying over. Okay. All right, Lazarus. Yeah, well, here we go, Lord. Lazarus is going to be okay. And, oh, God, heal his body. Take care of him. Just like he healed Peter's mother-in-law. By the way, Peter couldn't have been the Pope. He was married. Because he had a mother-in-law. Put that on the side. Now, if he wasn't married and he had a mother-in-law, then he's too stupid to be the Pope. But anyway, if he would have walked over and said, Lazarus, be healed, and Lazarus got up, a few friends next door would have known that, right? Mary would have known it. Martha would have known it. Lazarus would have done it and probably would have gone down to hardware store and told the boys down there, hey, here I am. Jesus came by, and I tell you what, I felt better almost immediately. You know what I'm saying? God had a bigger plan. He wanted us to see God's power in a greater way. But the fact is, because it was so bad, because he was so dead, and they're hearing about Jesus coming into town, they want to see what's going on. And many, many, but you know what? You know how selfish we are? I just assume he didn't heal me. I mean, that he healed me in bed and not go through all the other stuff. You know, because all that matters as long as I'm okay. Instead of saying, Lord, use me that others may see Christ, even if it kills me. You say, listen, if he doesn't raise him up from the dead on this side of glory, we get raised up from the dead on the other side of glory. In fact, Lazarus had to go through that death thing all over again. If we go directly to glory, we don't have to worry about that. And we're not going to be on a cloud playing a harp all day. There's life there. There's more life on the other side than there is here. Many of the townspeople would have not believed, but many that saw him, the Bible says, believed on him. Their faith would have never been as strong as it was and ended up being if Lazarus had not died. Mary and Martha said, well, I don't want to go through this. It didn't say poor Lazarus. No, it said my brother. You know what they're saying? You didn't care about us. You let Lazarus die. You don't care about us. Listen, I'll guarantee you when Lazarus came walking out of that tomb, after Mary and Martha got back off the ground, they saw something. They had a faith that was totally different than what they had before. They know the case with Lazarus. They know how dead he was. My guess is they put him in the tomb or helped. My guess, they probably helped put the spices on his body and wrapped it. They knew he was dead, and they're seeing him walk out. And after they loosed him and let him go, a few days later, they're having a big party at their house. And Lazarus was there as part of the crowd. Look what Jesus did. Look what Jesus did. You know what? They probably didn't see the plan. We only see the moment. Lord, if you had been here, well, if he had been here, you know what? We would have missed out. But I want to do one other thing before we leave. Here we are now. Jesus said, I go to the Father. And it is good for you that I go to the Father. Because if I go to the Father, I will send another comforter to you. The works that I do, greater works shall ye do because I go to the Father. Well, what is he saying? He's teaching us that when a person receives Christ as their Savior, they admit themselves a sinner, headed for hell, totally hopeless, cannot pay for their own sins, but realize that Jesus Christ was sent to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave us his life for our life. Our sins were put on him. And so when he died with our sins. That's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had turned his back on his only son while he died with our sins because he has no fellowship with sin. Jesus was experiencing a separation from God that he had never experienced before, though we kind of feel that gulf between us. Jesus had never felt that. But once our sin was put on him, he was separated. Now listen, that allows us for the Holy Spirit now to come in and indwell the believer. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4, till the day of redemption. We are indwelled. If he dwells not in you, you're none of his. Now it's a still small voice. Don't look for a bunch of thunder and lightning and fireworks and all this stuff. He's a still, small voice. You listen to him. And God will lead you. But he also empowers you. Well, watch me. The lady said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. You know what? We don't have to say that. The Lord is here. He's here. We don't have to wait for him to show up bodily. We can pray in a moment. Now watch. So number 6, Jesus is here. The complaint was, Lord, if you had been here. Well, Lord is here. See, God's heart, wait a minute. Even then, God's heart was with them. He knew what was going on. He grieved. I think he grieved because they grieved. I think he hurt that they were going to go through the grief and the hurt and the wondering and the thought that Lazarus is gone. He's good and gone. He's not coming back. This is it. They did not go to that tomb and say, oh boy, he's going to go raise him from the dead. They went to that tomb figuring everything's done. It's lost. It's over. And when he grieved, when Jesus wept, I think he was feeling the hurt. There are times when people come to me and they say, this is going on in my life, and I hurt. Well, how do you carry it? I don't. I give it to him. When I've got things in my own life, well, I can't carry it. I've got to give it to him. That's why the Bible says, pray without ceasing. And all thy ways acknowledge him, he'll direct thy paths. Be careful for nothing. Be worried about it. But in all things, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made on the Lord. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Give it to him. He is here. Wait a minute. The eye of the Lord. Psalm 33:18 says this. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. See, we would say, I'll trust in his holy name. He does him, then we'll rejoice. No, he said, my heart will rejoice because we've trusted his holy name. Listen, there's people in here who are going through some things right now that's bigger than you are. It's coming from all sides. Listen, he's still here. He shows himself merciful to deliver the soul from death, to keep them alive in famine when you don't think, I don't know how we're going to pay tomorrow's bills. Where are we going to eat? God says, I know you have need of this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And so watch, he's here in the Psalm says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. Put it in his hand. I don't know what he's going to do, but here it is, Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our hearts shall rejoice in because we have trusted in his holy name. We know who he is. God is still a personal God who works in the lives of people. Well, I haven't seen it a whole lot because most people don't trust in him. They won't roll the stone away. You know, I've gotten to open up that can of worms. Sorry. Jesus can see our hearts. He's omnipresent. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. See, our heart lies to us and tries to convince us that God has failed us. It's deceitful. Don't believe it. Jesus does know what's going on. He's omniscient, all-knowing. Jesus knows the outcome. He's eternal. Jesus can take care of the problem when he decides it's the right time. He's omnipotent. God can do anything, but if we may have something different in mind that we can't imagine, let me say it again. God can do anything, but he may have something different in mind than we can even imagine. We have a difficult time seeing any other possibilities than what our finite minds see. I mean, it's normal. Lazarus is dead. We don't want him to go cross over that line because, hey, you cross over that line, there's no coming back. But Jesus didn't care enough to show up on time. And we went over that line. And it's all over. God says, it's not over until I say it's over. There's a song I like to do. It's called 4 Days Late. So isn't it great? When he's four days late, he's still on time. If you know that Jesus loves you, then trust him because he never changes. We were studying a few months ago, Malachi 3:6, I change not. Therefore, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, Jacob is not consumed. So you know why? The reason you're not all not dead? Because I don't change. I love you. Jesus is here. Number 7. Last one. The Lord is here. And the Lord is taking care of the problem. Now, he's got other plans. He's got a greater plan. In the midst of taking care of the problem, he's got some great things happening. You see, they only thought he wasn't involved. They sent word to Jesus, Lazarus is sick, the one you love. Do something. Well, he didn't. He didn't do anything. He waits a couple days and they come strolling into town. And we're supposed to go, oh, Jesus, and No. Jesus didn't go because he had a greater plan. See, there's things working that we don't necessarily see. See, Jesus is not being delinquent. We only accept what we think of man's wisdom. We don't realize God's got other thoughts. His ways are higher than our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. We may never watch this. We may never understand on this side of eternity what he's doing, but he's doing. Just because we cannot see God physically doesn't mean that God is not doing anything. I remember when I was a kid, my mom and dad, we were part of an antique car club. And I was never around water too much, but he had a friend, Bill McCoy was his name. He lived over here in Mount Holly Springs. And he had a beautiful place. And you know how the Beverly Hillbillies talk about the cement pond? Well, he actually had a cement pond. And he had water fountains and these big ponds, and in there he had great big, huge fish, and he had ducks in there. And I remember we were going up there. I was just a little kid, and it was really hot. I accidentally fell in. You know, I wasn't supposed to, but I I was usually a pretty good kid, but I don't know why. But I just kind of liked it. Anyway, they had ducks in this pond. Now the ducks in the pond would do this. That's what you saw. In fact, this is what you saw. Right? Underneath the water, though, was going this. You know? They're just kind of looking around. And underneath the water, their feet, I mean, they're going and they're going and going and going and going and going. Now, it looks like they're just not really doing anything, just kind of lazy, you know, just having a good old time, you know. But underneath, their feet are going and going and going. See, God's like that. We see nothing on our side of the issue going on. But behind the scenes, God's working. He says, I've got a plan. I've got a greater plan. They're going to see something they never thought they could see. Oh, it's going to look bad. It's going to look bad. It's going to look real bad. But they're going to see something that day. I'll tell you what, it's going to be good. I'm so glad I wasn't there. Lazarus is gone. But we're going to have a big day today. Because I know what's going to happen. Many times the Lord may even be in the process of taking care of the problem as we speak. And we think nothing is happening. And then when something happens, we think, oh, all of a sudden there's a resolution to this. We think our issue is going to be solved, and as if it just happened, ta-da. Do you realize that there are things that probably happen in our life that God has been working on the answer because he knew it was going to come up, and he's been working on the answer for years. Sometimes you go to somebody for some advice, and they're going to be able to give you just the right godly advice. But they wouldn't have known it except the fact that God was preparing this person to understand these things all these years, so when the time came, everything was in place. You know what the Bible says? Matthew 6:8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Isaiah 65:24 says this, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. He knows your issue long ahead of the issue. You realize that it was planned before the foundation of the world that Lazarus was going to die. And God was going to be able to show his glory in a miraculous way by simply saying, Lazarus, come forth. See, he spoke the word and said, let there be light. And there was light. And let there be a firmament. By the word of his mouth, all of creation came alive in the first place. And it's no problem for him to say, Lazarus, come forth. If you had been here, Lord, my brother wouldn't have died. Yeah, and think about how much you would have missed out on. No? Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. We would have never seen the great power and the might of God. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Well, God was here, and he is here, and always will be here. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has something bigger going on than our simple temporary crisis. God says, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that while I was not here, to the intent you may believe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we just need to trust you. Even when everything looks haywire, you've got something else going on underneath. There's more going on than we understand. Heads are bowed.